Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of The Unconventional Gal, Forging Your Own Path. I'm your host, Cherokee. I'm back. I'm alone this week. No Amanda with me. I'm thinking about bringing Amanda on and making her a regular guest. I mean, obviously, we're doing our Pandora's Box of Topics, but now that I am used to doing a podcast with someone else, it seems very strange to do it alone. Although she does live across town, so her being able to get here and make lots of podcasts sometimes isn't feasible. So I'm thinking maybe doing more podcasts with her, less with me, just on my own. So if you have a preference one way or the other, please let me know. Send me a message on socials, send me an email, send me a carrier pigeon, I don't know, somehow get me the deets on what you guys prefer as far as who I have on my podcast, or if I have none people on my podcast. I just spent a week off of work, and I don't know what it is about not working that is exhausting. Like, I didn't even take a vacation. I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed home. My best friend, Caitlin, who was on a previous podcast, she was in town. So she came in from Portland for a week. So I took the whole week off. We did like minuscule things. We went to afternoon tea and I gave her a facial. And besides that, we literally laid on the couch and did nothing. We watched two seasons. We watched the full season of UK Drag Race season one and Canada Drag Race season one. We watched both of those full seasons. We tried to watch Swans, the feud that's Swans, the new Ryan Murphy thing. I have to say, I loved the Betty and Joan feud. That whole season was so good. And three episodes into Swans, I was so bored. I could not stay awake. Like, the first episode was great. And then I was bored out of my mind. I couldn't stand anybody. And I just wanted it to end. So we didn't finish it. So needless to say, that was not a show we finished. So I have spent the last week doing mostly nothing but watching reality TV shows, and I'm exhausted. So I'm hoping that recording this podcast today will give me some renewed energy. I'm also sorry for my rough voice. If you are frequent listeners to my podcast, you know that I have lung disease and my lungs have not been super great the last couple of weeks. Because of that, I've been coughing a lot, and because of that, my voice is a little bit hoarse. So if you hear that, that is what is going on. I have some more testing coming up in the next couple of weeks. So alas, the life of a person with chronic illness. But enough about that. Today, my topic is divorce. This is a topic that I have had on my list forever. I've had people ask me about it a million times. I don't know why I've been putting it off. It's not like it's a hard topic for me to talk about. Just for warning, I have signed a contract that I will not talk about one of my marriages. So I'm going to be kind of vague in some of the things I talk about, and it is to avoid getting in any trouble. But I have been married twice, so I can talk about divorce in general pretty easily, and I can give some details where they apply. I'm just going to keep things kind of vague, which, you know, I think is important anyways, because I'm not trying to blow up anyone's spot. I'm not trying to trash talk or any of that business. So, you know, as I like to do whenever I have a podcast topic, I like to research. I like to look up definitions and I like to look up statistics. So I was just kind of curious about the divorce rate because, I don't know, I feel like you hear about divorce rates really often and I feel like it's always overblown. It's this weird thing when you get married, people love to tell you about the divorce rate. You know, 70% of divorces end in, nope, divorces don't end at all. 70% of marriages end in divorce. People always say that like little snivelly thing when you say you're getting married. I don't know why people feel the need to share these statistics, but I've always wondered how, I don't know, how accurate they actually are. So I actually looked up the American Psychological Association's statistics, and according to them, approximately 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce. That's first marriages. I think as you get divorced more, the rate goes up. That was according to what I read. I don't know the exact rate for second, third, fourth marriages, but the first marriages tend to end in divorce less frequently than the second, third, fourth marriages, fifth, sixth, seventh. I don't know. People get married a lot. My grandma has been married 6 times, but she is a Looney Tune. So that is a story for another day. So divorces in a first marriage are most common in years 1 and 2 and 5 through 8. So I don't know what it is about years 3 and 4 that happen to be the happy years, but not a lot of people are getting divorced in those years. And then I guess after 8 years, you're like, meh, I guess I'll just stay with this person because we've already stuck it out this long. It didn't say anything about anything past 8 years. So I guess it's if you can make it through the first 8 years of marriage, then the odds of you staying married are pretty great. They also did say that the average length of marriage is 8.2 years. So that makes me think that a lot of people are getting married under that 8 year mark because that's skewing the average. Because, you know, you hear people married for 40, 50 years, 60 years. That's a lot of years. So if the average is 8 years, then that makes me think that a lot of marriages are in like the 1 to 2 mark of when they, or the 1 to 2 year mark of when they're ending. My first marriage was 4.5 years. And my second marriage was actually just under 5 years. So I don't know, my track record's not so great for the 5 year mark. But that's funny because I was in the 4 year mark for both divorces. And apparently that is the most uncommon, the 3-4 year. So I'm just unconventional in every way possible. My current marriage, we are going on 1.5 years strong. I'm very happy. In both previous relationships, things started going bad before I even got married. And in this one, we have been happy solidly through pre-marriage to now. Also, my reasons for getting married this time were, I don't want to say less superficial, but they, I mean, obviously we love each other. We were already planning forever. We bought a house together. It's not like we hadn't talked about it. That was just the plan. But because we bought a house together, we didn't want it to make it more difficult on ourselves, kind of legally, if something happened to one of us. When you're married, it's just easier. Also, because of my health stuff, I needed better health insurance. And so that helped me out a lot. And also because my health is bad, having him be my husband just makes it easier without having to have specific health directives and power of attorney and all of that stuff. Like everything just defaults to him. So if I'm ever in a position where I can't make decisions for myself, then he can make them for me. So I don't know. We had a very, I can't even think of the word. Like we just kind of sat down and we're like, should we get married? Like this would fix a lot of these issues. It was just like an adult conversation versus like a, will you marry me? Yes. Oh my God, we're crying. We're at the bottom of a waterfall and it's so romantic. And it definitely was not that for my third marriage. But I also think that that's why the odds of this one lasting are greater because we didn't have some big, great romantic picture of what marriage is or is supposed to be. So 2/3 of divorces are filed by women. Not surprising, men, get your shit together. I don't know why 2/3 of divorces are filed by women. I don't know if men are more likely to just stick it out in a bad marriage. I definitely know that my ex, his parents were still married when we split and they were very dysfunctional. And his mom was really old when she had him. And so they were very much of the mind of like, you stay together no matter what. And I told him, when I told him that, you know, I was thinking about separating or getting divorced, I was like, do you just want to stay together and be miserable forever? And he was like, yep. Like, that's just what you do. And that was not okay with me. So I don't know if it's women that just are more self-aware in that, like, I don't want to be miserable forever and being with you doesn't make me happy. So I'm going to go find something like greener pastures. Whereas I think men maybe are just more like creatures of habit. They just kind of go with the flow and being miserable doesn't seem so bad when it's just part of your routine, I guess. I don't know. That's my hunch. But the good news is both marriage and divorce rates are falling. And my hunch on this is that people now have more of a choice on whether they want to get married. So that's why marriage rates are falling. But I think that with that comes divorce rates falling, because back in the day, especially like grandparents' age, you didn't get divorced. Like, my grandparents were married forever and they had so many ups and downs and they never even thought about getting divorced. Although my grandpa did get divorced from my biological grandma. But yeah, so that generation, just divorce just wasn't as accepted. And also getting married was like the norm. Like, you, that was what you did. Graduate high school, go to college if you're a man, and then you get married, have children, buy the house. It was like this whole predestined, I don't know if it was the American dream. I don't know if this is a very American thing. If you are not American and you come from maybe a different culture where it wasn't so much like this, please let me know. But I definitely think it was just this American thing, especially through like the 40s, 50s, like post-World War II, that it was just this like very American idea of like what life was supposed to be. And so, you know, you marry your high school sweetheart. Also, too, there's a lot of people that for religious reasons or whatever reasons don't have sex before marriage. So dudes are horny. Like, what teenage boy that's 18 years old that just wants to have sex isn't going to be like, yeah, let's get married. Sure, cool. Yeah, let's do that. And then a couple of years in, they're like, damn it, what have I done? Sex really isn't that great. I mean, it is, don't get me wrong, but not worth getting married to the wrong person. So I think back then people got married for all sorts of reasons that maybe weren't the right reason to get married. And now people have the choice. Like, I have lots of friends that are just in a relationship, a forever relationship. Look at Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell. They've been together for like 50 years. They have kids. They have a whole life built together. They're celebrities and they have never gotten married. So I think that's just kind of more acceptable now. And honestly, if it hadn't have been for sort of like the technical, legal, financial stuff with James and I don't think that we would have gotten married. It wasn't like when we met, he was never interested in getting married. I didn't want to get married again. And also too, like when we first got together, I was just coming out of a divorce. Like, it was not anything I ever thought that was going to be in the cards again. So I think that just divorce and marriage both in general aren't as important to people anymore. I think it's not as like big of a life milestone. I mean, obviously you still hear, I do watch Love is Blind, so I hear this all the time. I've been dreaming about this day since I was a little girl. You always hear that when these girls try on their wedding dresses. Also not something that I ever dreamed about. I never really wanted to get married. Actually, before we get into that, I'm going to give you one more stat because I don't want to pass this stat up because I thought it was interesting. So the states with the highest rate of divorce are Arkansas is the top, followed by New Mexico, Wyoming, Kentucky, West Virginia. So these are all like southern central states. I don't know why the divorce rates are so high here, like why they're not so high coastally. Yeah, I'm curious to know why these states have the highest divorce rates. And you know, funnily enough, California and New York have some of the lowest divorce rates. But I also think that generally, places where people have more money and more education, marriage isn't stressed as much. I feel like education rates are lower, poverty rates are higher. I think there's just weirdly, culturally, more of a push for people to get married. I don't know why. So that might be it. I think maybe, I don't know, maybe some of the central states are just a little bit more old-fashioned in that kind of thinking. Not to say that, you know, in big cities in those states, it's not more progressive, but that's just my hunch. If anyone else has any ideas on why they have the highest rates in those areas, I would love to hear them. So, okay, so my marriages slash divorces. My first marriage was wild. I was 21, never wanted to get married, never wanted to have kids. I was like, still had that punk rock mentality of like, fuck the system. And I don't want to be a cog in that wheel. I met my ex, fell madly in love. I think I was more in love with the idea of him because he was like really cool and I was young and we do dumb things when we're young, but we were together for 2 months. And we went to our first Viva Las Vegas together in 2004. And we were at the car show and he was like, do you want to get married today? I'm not sure if I've told this story before. If I have, I apologize. I lose track of how many stories I've told in my podcast. But anyways, he asked if I wanted to get married, and I knew that he wanted kids, and I knew that I didn't. So I looked at him, and I was like, if we get married and this works, I'm never having kids. And he looked at me, and he's like, all right, you got yourself a deal. And then we grabbed our friend to be our witness, and we cruised down to a chapel, and we got married. So after this, we kind of had to figure out our plan because we didn't even live together yet at this point. So I moved in with him in his parents' house in their basement. Let me tell you, being somebody that has seasonal depression, living in a basement is like the worst thing you can possibly do for your mental health. So we were married for a good many years, almost 5 years. I don't think that we would have stayed together as a couple as long as we did if we weren't married because, you know, that legal piece of paper, I don't know what it's like more of a shackle to someone. Eventually, things fell apart viciously. I can't imagine a worse relationship to ever be in. I mean, there are worse relationships to be in, but for myself, it was a very harmful relationship to be in. I think it was me that asked for the divorce. He definitely, like I said, was very much like, you just stay married no matter what. So we got divorced. It was actually very easy. It was in Washington. We just like filed a piece of paper and paid $200 and bing, bang, boom, we were divorced in like a couple months. So second marriage, not going to go into too much detail, but we were together for almost 10 years, very happy, had some issues, weren't the right people for each other. After about almost 5 years of marriage, decided to get divorced. I think it was mutual in many ways. Anybody that's in California, please listen to this because divorce in California is particularly difficult. So in California, if you are married for under 5 years, you don't have to get, technically don't have to get a divorce. You can get something called a summary dissolution. It's basically the judge looks at the paper, says, okay, we're dissolving this marriage, signs it, it's done. If you are married for more than 5 years, you have to actually get a legal divorce. So I think a summary dissolution, I think the like filing of the paperwork costs like $500 total. So like split between two people was $250 each. A divorce is more expensive, and also you have to do all of the like court stuff. So for us, we just got a mediator. The mediator filed all the paperwork. Once it was filed, like we went in a few times to sign things, you know, agree on things. And then once it was filed, I think it took 6 months and it was done, paid $500. We paid for a mediator too, but that's not like, you don't have to do that. Also with a summary dissolution, you don't have to get lawyers. You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to go to court. So if you get a divorce, if it's over 5 years, you have to get a divorce. So in that case, it has to be filed through the court. So one person has to serve the other person. Even if it's a friendly divorce, you have to like, you got served to your partner. You pick who does it. Obviously, if it's a contested divorce, like one person wants it, one doesn't, then the person that wants the divorce is the one that's serving the other person. But if you're friendly, you still have to do it. You still have to make an appearance in front of the judge. You have to, there's just all these other things you have to do. So not only is it more time consuming, but it's also more expensive. So if you are in an unhappy marriage right now and you are just coming up on 5 years, get your butt down to the courthouse and file yourself your summary dissolution. I also think that they count the date of divorce from when you separated. Let me tell you, in California, divorce is difficult. Also in California, it's a community property state. So you split everything 50-50, unless you have a prenup. If you do not have a prenup, anything either one of you made or bought or earned or inherited during your marriage is split 50-50. This includes your businesses, unless you have a corporation. Like anything that's a personal asset is 50-50. So if you both agree, I'm keeping this, they're keeping that, you put it in writing, cool. If one person is upset and wants to challenge the other person, they can get half. Your spouse can get half of your retirement. They can get half of investments, like of anything. So even if, which was my case, you each have separate bank accounts and separate everything, separate finances, it does not matter. Everything's community property when you get married. So think about it really hard before you get married in California because it's a very difficult state. The other thing is, if one person makes more money than the other person, even if the person that earned more doesn't support the second person. So say you have separate bank accounts, separate finances, you don't have kids, you don't share anything. Just because one person made more money than the other person, the person that made less is entitled to alimony. And I think it's only if one person makes 10% more than the other person. It's not a whole lot. So these are things that you have to navigate in California. It's not anything that I ever had to even think about or consider in Washington. So before you get married, and if you are considering a divorce, I highly, highly recommend that you look up the laws and regulations in whatever state that you live in. My family is interesting because my grandparents were married forever. We're still married when my grandpa passed, but my parents got divorced when I was 15. And my grandparents are the only couple in my family that were married. Everybody else got divorced. All my aunts, all my uncles, all my cousins, my mom, my dad. Like, there's so much divorce in my family. So to me, divorce wasn't like a big deal. But I know to some people, divorce makes you feel like you've failed. And I just want to stress to anyone out there that is considering divorce or going through a divorce, divorce is not a failure. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It just means that you entered into this agreement and the agreement didn't work out. And that happens all the time. Friendships fall apart. Businesses fall apart. People lose their houses. You know, there's these things in life that they just don't work quite like you thought they were going to. And just because the picture of your life that you thought you were going to see when you were old isn't going to be the same picture doesn't mean it's not going to be a good picture. Although a marriage is a promise, it doesn't mean that it has to be forever if it isn't right. And that doesn't mean that you should only get divorced if your spouse is beating you or cheating on you or doing something like stole your money or punched your mom or I don't know what it is. Like, your spouse doesn't have to be an awful human being to warrant wanting a divorce. For me, divorce was because what I had was just good enough. And I didn't want just good enough. I wanted spectacular. I wanted James. I wanted what I had with James. And if I hadn't have gotten divorced and if I hadn't have started over and made the decision and gone through the difficulty and the heartbreak and all of that, like every night I go to sleep and I cuddle up to him and I smell the back of his neck and I'm so happy. Every morning I wake up and I roll over and I look at him with his little headband speakers on and he's snoring and he's drooling. And I'm every single morning I wake up next to this man 6 years on and I am still ridiculously happy. And I don't think that anyone should sacrifice that. And you might start that way and then your relationship might morph into something that isn't that. And I don't think it's wrong to want that. And I think that that is out there for everyone. You just have to make sure that you find the right person that you have it with. And, you know, people change and grow apart and grow in different directions, especially people that get married when you're very young. I can't even tell you how much of a different person I am from 21 to 41. I'm not the same person. There's no way I would have lasted with my ex. There's no way I would have lasted with either ex. Growing through the phases of life, especially my mental health, especially my physical health and being chronically ill and changing my priorities and changing my career and doing all of those things. Sometimes you're just not with the right person to facilitate the changes that you need or want to make in your life. And that's okay. You're not a failure. So those are my words of wisdom for anybody considering a divorce or going through a divorce. I think people are really hard on themselves. Before we take a break, I just want to remind everyone, please, if you like this podcast, leave a review, please subscribe, please keep listening. The more listens I get, the more I can tell that you guys are into this and the more episodes that I will make and try to be more consistent. Also, if you would be so kind as to share my podcast, you know, lots of people listen to podcasts and won't know about this beautiful gem unless you tell them about it. So we are going to take a break. And when we come back, I have a ton of questions and stories. So this might be a long podcast, but I haven't posted one in a while. So I think we're due. Okie dokie. So I have so many questions. I actually have more questions than stories. Usually I do questions first, but I think we're going to do, I think we're going to do stories first this time. Let's shake it up a little bit. Okay, so first story is from Aubrey Marie. She says, I never wanted to be divorced, but it turned out to be the best thing for me. I wasn't valued in my marriage for what I was capable of. I feel much more free to be myself now. Sending love to all my divorced sisters. So there you go, some positivity coming out of divorce. Rocco Jessica said, divorce was never in my life plan either. And when alcoholism put a very big strain on our relationship and we would discuss it and nothing would change, it brought back a lot of childhood trauma for me. It was heartbreaking, but I had to do what was right for me to lead a happy, successful life. Sometimes love isn't enough to keep a marriage together. Sadly, there is so much more trauma and devastation and heartbreak that is involved in my divorce and afterwards. But I am at peace knowing I did the right thing for myself. When I tell you that getting divorced is one of the most painful, horrible, hardest things you will ever do, I am not exaggerating. But the life that you could potentially have on the other side of it is worth it. Bunny Bunker said, in hindsight, okay, this is a doozy. Just getting you guys ready for it. In hindsight, I should have had him skull and crossboned. This is an emoji. Divorce was way more stressful. After cheating on me multiple times, lying constantly about everything, and being an alcoholic, I eventually came to the end of my rope. It would have ended sooner, but for the kids, I tried to make it work, which was dumb. They're going to suffer either way. Yes, I agree. As a child of divorce, the worst thing you can do is stay together for the kids. So I tell him I want a divorce. I want it to be amicable. He suddenly decides that he loves me. Also says he found out he has cancer. He doesn't know how long he has left. So then, of course, I feel like a heel and figure I should stick around. He didn't have cancer. I move forward with the divorce, which ended up taking 4 years. And during that time, he was stalking and harassing me. At one point, loosened the lug nuts on one of my tires, which came off while I was driving. And flash forward 13 years, the house we owned together, which he got in the divorce, he let go into foreclosure. He never got the loan changed into just his name. So after all this time, I stand to have my credit ruined again by this man. And he's got the last laugh because he dropped dead of a heart attack a few months ago. Thank you for this opportunity to vent. I couldn't not post this because I feel like her story had to be shared. She went through so much. This is a really good example. I tell all my friends this, especially as somebody that has been married and divorced twice. No matter how much you love someone and you think somebody is a lovely human and they would always do the right thing and they're a good person, they have a good heart. When people are hurt, they get petty, 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 petty. People that I thought would never, well, they did, and they do, because hurt people, and especially through divorce, there's this funny thing where couples like to blame each other, because no one wants to be at fault for something failing, and nobody wants to admit that, like, there was equal parts in things, and maybe it just didn't work because it didn't work, and there's no fault, there's no one to blame, but man, can I tell you that people like to destroy each other's credit? They like to take each other's assets. They like to, you know, put the house in foreclosure. And they will destroy their own lives to do these things. So if you are going to get married, have contracts. If you're going to get divorced, make sure that you know what you're getting into. Get a lawyer, get a mediator. Make sure you know the laws in your state. Make sure that you're protected. If you have assets before going into the marriage, get a prenup. There is nothing wrong with asking somebody to sign a prenup just to protect yourself. It doesn't mean you don't love the person. It doesn't mean you don't trust the person. It just means you have a just-in-case plan. And if the person on the other end of it really loves you, they will 100% understand. If somebody fights you over a prenup, that's your first red flag of them having some petty in them. When I married James, if he had have asked me to sign a prenup, I would have been like, sure. We talked about doing a prenup, but going into our marriage, we both had pretty much the same amount of everything. So to us, it didn't make much sense, but we totally talked about it in a very rational way as two adults that understand that life throws you curveballs. I do not plan on ever divorcing James. He is my forever person. I love him more than I've loved any human in this world. I trust him beyond anybody, but still, you want to make sure that you protect yourself. So this story is a good example of that. Okie dokie, last story Renee Fiorentini Henriksen said, I was married to a man for 16 years that would go through phases of depression. He wasn't bipolar, as he was secretly coming to terms with his sexual orientation. When he explained this to me, the answers fell into place. He wanted an open marriage. Please do not misread me when I explain there is no hate from me about their truth. I personally believe marriage is between two people, not a village. We divorced in 2017. They transitioned to become a woman in 2018. I cannot imagine the amount of pain they felt over time by the point they transitioned, but I know they are happier now. Getting divorced was one of the hardest journeys I've been through. It allowed me the space to rebuild family ties, deepen friendships, restart my career, and find a good guy. Divorce can be a death of a relationship, yet it can be a time of rebirth. Ooh, what a heavy, heavy, heavy thing to want the person that you love to be themselves and to live their truth and be happy, but then also have to mourn essentially the death of this person you loved that is not that person anymore, or maybe was never the person that you thought they were. I think about this a lot when people are married to people that are transgender or people that come out as gay or bi or whatever it is. And that's kind of the cause of the end of the relationship, where it's really like, really, it's not you, it's me. Those kind of situations. And for her to have such positivity and compassion for her ex-husband is such a lovely thing. And also that allowed her to really find herself. I think there's something kind of magical when you're going through a divorce. You go through moments of grief where you can't get out of bed and you can't pick yourself up and you feel like it's all ending. But then there's these moments of sunshine where it's like, I'm going to clean my house and I'm going to do this in my job and I'm going to like buy a new wardrobe or, you know, go to the gym or like do whatever. So I think being able to turn such a scary unknown into something so positive is very lovely and inspiring. So I really appreciate the share of that story, especially with it being so personal. All right, we're going to do some questions. I got so many questions about divorce, so I'm not going to answer all of them, but I think I'm going to answer the ones that kind of I didn't cover in the meat of the podcast. At Miliske said, how do you make the period after the breakup least painful and as short as possible? Me and my boyfriend just broke up in November after almost 10 years, which is essentially marriage, and I can't seem to let go. I keep finding ways and excuses to stay in touch. We even still text and call almost every day. On one hand, I know I need and want to move on, but another part of me is so afraid and sad to be accepting that this is just really the end. We both decided to split as we're just not compatible. I am a firm believer in once it's done, it's done. People that try to stay friends with their ex, I just don't think it ever works. I think there's always one person that's still holding on and still holding out hope while the other person has moved on and just legitimately wants to be friends. It's so rare. It takes such maturity and strength to just go straight into being friends and to both be on that same page at the same time. Usually when my friends are in this position and asking for advice, I say, that person doesn't exist to you anymore. Once you've split your stuff, once you've signed the paperwork, you know, obviously if you have kids, it's a whole different ball game. But even with kids, just get your parenting plan, keep it in place, do drop-offs, maybe in a neutral location, like don't go to each other's houses. It's so hard to stay friends. And especially if you're not over it, it just keeps opening the wound. And the second your ex gets a new partner, a new girlfriend, a new boyfriend, it will destroy you, especially if you have kids, trying to see them, you know, at kids' soccer game with their new partner. I just think it's really unhealthy. Not to say that maybe down the road you can't be friends again, but I think the other thing that complicates staying friends is that when a new person comes into the picture, it makes it uncomfortable, kind of for everybody. I don't want to hang out with my husband's ex. He doesn't want to hang out with my exes. I'm friendly with most of my exes. I'm not friends with them. Like if I saw anyone around town, which would be really weird because most of them are in Portland, but if I did see anyone, I would say hi, no big deal, with a mosey about my way. I'm not trying to be like getting drinks with my crew plus all my exes. I think the exception to this rule is sometimes in same-sex relationships, especially in small cities, because sometimes those communities are so small that it's almost impossible to not stay friends with your ex. For some reason, people that are in same-sex relationships are just better at compartmentalizing the ex situation and letting it go. So that might be an exception, but I am a straight cisgendered female, so I can't really speak on that experience. All I can say is that if you are with someone of the opposite sex, very rarely does it work to stay friends. So just do your best to keep that distance. And as far as making the breakup as least painful and as short as possible, your distance, all it's going to, just keeping distance, create your new life, create your new routines, find new friends, go on some dates. That's what's going to make it as short as possible. At underscore Vanessa Sauceda underscore said, how costly is it? Mine is going to be bad. So like I said, my first divorce was like $200. We didn't own anything. We didn't need lawyers or mediators or anything. It was not expensive. Second one in California, if you do a summary dissolution, that was $500. And then I think our mediator ended up being like $1,200, which also, like I said, mediators are optional. So that's not something you have to do. The next step up from that would be if you need lawyers. If you need lawyers, that can get really costly. So the divorce itself, like filing the paperwork, isn't super expensive. It's the other stuff, especially if you have kids. The fight over that can get costly. Also depends on the state that you're in. At Barbaric 818 said, how long did it take you to realize the divorce was the right decision? Oh, first marriage, I think it was like, I put up with stuff and put up with stuff and I wasn't happy, but I just kind of like tried until it was literally like, okay, I'm done. Like it was like, I was pushed past the point of being so unhappy that it was like the only thing that would make me happy. Also, within a few months of that first divorce, I moved to LA, and just the thought of like living a life and starting over gave me excitement, which made that process faster. My long marriage, we were together for a long time and we had lots of ups and downs. That one was very difficult. Very difficult. It took me a long time to realize that that was the right decision. It was really hard. Really hard. It wasn't like the first one where I just was like fed up and done, because it wasn't the same toxic situation. So I think, especially because I've done it twice, I don't think there's really a timeline. I don't think that like you have to give it time. Like if you're done, you're done. Like by all means, end it. But I think the majority, for most people, it's more of the like, it was really hard. It took a long time. Unless obviously there's like abuse or, you know, cheating involved. At Brandy Lou underscore said, I feel guilty for being happier now that I'm getting divorced. Why are the feelings so conflicting? Honestly, I think that's just the nature of divorce. It's such a weird thing because you're going through something that hurts so immensely with the promise of something so beautiful after. The thing that was super unique about my last divorce was that James was a super good friend. And once we finally decided to get divorced, James and I started falling in love as I was going through the divorce process. So I was literally like grieving as I was falling in love, which is such a weird push and pull. I don't think it's unique in the way that I feel like a lot of people, as they go through a divorce, they start to fall in love in other ways, like fall in love with other parts of their life. Like maybe you fall in love with your career again, you fall in love with your freedom, you fall in love with changing your appearance or transitioning, maybe for some people. So I don't think the feeling of grieving while you're falling in love is super unique. I just think for me, it was me literally falling in love with another human being. The guilt that came with that was two-pronged, because I felt guilty for my ex, with him knowing that like I had moved on what appeared to be really quickly. But then also the guilt to James, because he was dealing with my grief and he was such a, like, I could never thank him more. Like, I would cry and I'd be like, I'm so sorry. Like, I know this sucks. And he'd be like, you need to grieve. Like, you are grieving a death of a relationship. Like, you have to feel it. You have to get it out. Like, you have to get past it. The only way to get past it is to go through it. So he was so understanding of that. And it wasn't that I was sad or upset or crying or grieving something I missed or wanted back. It was like grieving something that was dead, like something that was never going to be again, and grieving the idea of what my life was going to be. I don't think it's wrong to feel guilty, because I think that's just a normal human emotion. But also, I think you just have to put that guilt aside and feel the happiness instead. I mean, that's the whole reason why you're getting divorced. At Two Fire Signs said, what makes you brave enough to finally say, I want a divorce? Honestly, I don't think it's as cut and dry as that. I would like to see the statistics on how often one person sits the other person down and just says, I want a divorce. I think it happens more gradually than that in most relationships. I think it's a, I'm not happy, how do we fix this? I think maybe there's, let's try couples counseling, and then maybe let's take some time apart, and then there's a little separation, and then eventually it gets to like, this isn't working, I think divorce might be the next step. I mean, if you're at the point where you in your head are saying to yourself, you want a divorce, by all means, tell your partner that. The thing is that if you got married, that means that you loved and respected your partner at some point. And if you're at the point right now where you're saying in your head you want a divorce, you owe it to that partner that you made those promises to tell them that that's how you feel. I think that's part of that promise. It's part of those vows. Not to say that divorce isn't right or okay, but I think being honest with your partner, like, you owe that to that person. Just owe that person that respect. But saying it, the braveness that comes with being able to say it is definitely difficult. And I got to a point with my ex where he kind of pushed me. Like, I don't think either one of us wanted to say it. And finally he pushed me, like, do you want a divorce? And I was kind of backed in a corner with this very weird situation. And I finally just said yes. And I remember when I said it, it was like tunnel vision, like, woo, like my vision closed in and I got really sweaty, like felt like I was going to pass out. Like, I couldn't believe I had actually said it. And then once I said it, it was like, wow, like, yep, that's my truth. Like, it felt weird, but it felt right. So what makes you brave enough? I don't know. You just get to a point where you're like done, I guess. At Liv Temple said, how do you let go and stop thinking about your ex often? Was it hard to move on? For me, I think because I fell in love as I was going through a divorce, that made it a little bit easier. I think it makes it easier to get rid of things that are like memento type things. Get rid of all the pictures of them. If you want to keep them in some hidden folder on the cloud so that you one day can look back fondly on your relationship. Get everything off your phone so you don't doom scroll when you're drunk at 2 a.m. crying. Getting rid of stuff around the house, maybe like whatever it is around your house that like really reminds you of the person. Pictures that you have, wedding photo albums. I think getting rid of those kind of things, trying to avoid spots that were like your spots. Don't listen to the song you walked down the aisle to. That was the first thing I did, was I went through all my music and got rid of songs that were like our songs. I don't think that you necessarily have to purge the person out of your life forever, but I think in that heartbreak moment in the very beginning, I think it's really important to do that so that you allow your brain and your heart to like move on and create new memories and new connections, and so you're not dwelling on it. Like, don't keep this sweater that still smells like him and curl up in bed with it. And, you know, like that kind of stuff I think is really unhealthy. As far as it being hard to move on, yes, of course, it's still hard to move on. It took me like probably 6 months before I could look at a picture of him, like anything online. My ex told me at some point, like, he had to just block me on Instagram because I kept coming up in his popular page because of being Cherry Dollface. Like, I just am in people's feeds, and I totally get it. Like, it's just, I think really separating yourself from the person makes it easier. But yeah, it is hard to move on. Even my relationship that was toxic, like, it's just hard to let go of somebody that, you know, was such a big part of your life. At Great Wide Somewhere 12 said, the feelings after a first divorce versus the feelings after a second, currently in that situation. Obviously, my first and second divorces were super different from each other, and everybody's marriages and divorces are all different from each other. But I think there's this thing after your second divorce, or maybe when you're thinking about your second divorce, of like really feeling like a failure. Like, okay, one marriage, especially mine, it was like kind of on a whim. Haha, funny, got divorced, no big deal. I honestly don't even really consider my first marriage as like a real marriage. You know, the one thing that like grinds my gears, I still hear it when people found out James and I were getting married, or even like on our wedding day, the amount of times I fucking heard, third time's a charm. Third times, oh my God, the amount of people's faces I wanted to punch, and like people that I love and respect. I don't think people understand how rude that is to say to somebody. Like, that's basically like saying you were a complete failure twice, but like this one's gonna work. Like, I can't explain. I can't explain how it feels. It's the worst, most gut punchy, like ball twisty. It's such a weird backhanded compliment, especially to say that to somebody on their wedding day. Please, if you know somebody that's getting married for a third time, do not say that in any situation. It's not funny. It's not cute. It's not welcome. As far as like the feelings on the first versus the second, I think the second, the only thing was just like feeling more like I failed harder because I did it twice, I guess. But the general feeling of both were very, very different. Woo! That was a long one. I don't know why I waited so long to talk about my divorces, but I don't know. Hopefully anybody that's going out there that is considering a divorce, maybe in the process of divorce or figuring out how to grieve after a divorce, maybe something I said resonates with you or helps you in any small way. I want to reiterate that you are not a failure and it is okay. And divorce is perfectly normal and perfectly natural. Not everyone is meant to be with one person forever. And also getting married again and getting divorced again, doing that as many times as you want, whatever's right for you. We're all living in our own skin. We're all living our own truths. So I hope that was interesting to y'all. I think next week, Amanda will be back. So it won't just be me. And until then, don't be an asshole. And here's me waving like a maniac. Bye, guys.